Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are rolling through each positional group, Trevor, here, because we've got our big mock draft coming up through the month of April. So in the meantime, we are trying to get in all these position groups and give people an idea kind of where we stand in the class. Then we'll give another quick look right before the draft there at the end of April, as we always do, looking at our boards and our rankings, going through those at the end. But, man, right now, Trevor, looking at this class and the interior defensive line, which is what we're talking about today, this was billed as an awesome interior defensive line class. And I don't know, do you think it's really panned out that way? I really don't think it has. I mean, there's some premier talents at the top for sure, but I don't know that this class has been quite as loaded as what the rumor was, at least when the college football season was still going on and people thought Derrick Brown and Raekwon Davis and a couple others would be in this class, and they ended up going back. And I don't really work out that way.
Okay, but if you throw those names in there, they just went back to they went back to school, but I think the other guys around them are still good.
Yeah, there's still obviously talent in this class, no doubt. But here's the thing. People thought Draymond Jones was a first rounder. Is that going to happen now?
Could not have been us.
Right. Could not have. Well, I thought there was a possibility he might go there. I never had him graded there. But now I don't think that's a consideration.
Could not have been us.
Dexter Lawrence, no chance, right? Nobody's talked about him in the first round at all for months, as we predicted. But
I think there's a chance Dexter Lawrence goes in the first round.
Okay, but it's a slim. But before, at the beginning of the season, people talked about him like he was a top 10 pick. You remember
this. Oh, sure. Okay. Right. Yeah, fair.
So clearly, the stock has fallen somewhat for Dexter Lawrence. It's fallen somewhat for Draymond Jones.
I guess it's hard for me to answer that question. And I hear what you're saying.
I'm not saying they're good players, but I'm just saying, think about the level of expectation where we were at, where oftentimes there were five or six of these guys in top 25s.
That we blew up who they were going to be in preseason, because that's literally what we do every year. And when I say we, I don't mean me and you.
Sure,
we're obviously a wholesome and perfect pod. You know where I was going with that. But I don't know, when I look at I'm going down the list right here. I'm looking at the guys that are in this class. I mean, Ed Oliver is not going number two overall guaranteed like we thought he was. But then again, if you flip it to the good side, I mean, Christian Wilkins is probably going higher than we thought he was. Jeffrey Simmons is better than we thought he was, although, of course, you have the ACL injury. Jerry Tiller.
I've always been top five on Jeffrey Simmons. I just wanted to clarify that. Go on.
Okay, thank you. The people really needed to hear you toot your own horn about that.
That's what I'm here for.
Jerry Tillery, I think, kind of came. I think his stock has certainly risen from what it was at the beginning. Charles Menehue's the same way.
Glass half full.
Kinda.
Okay. All right. So
Kalen Mack's better than what we thought he was.
Quinnen Williams wasn't even on our radar going into the year.
Right. So I don't know, man. I guess I hear what you're saying going into it, because you could look at it and Dexter Lawrence, I think, yes. Draymond Jones, certainly the guys that you named that didn't end up declaring. Gerald Willis really cooled down. Isaiah Bugs really cooled down. I'm trying to, if there's anybody I'm missing.
I mean, honestly, whether you and I, and we'll talk about it in a second here, but Oliver, I mean, we were talking about him as a top three lock.
Sure. And
lock I don't think the NFL was ever that high on him, but our perception of him, at least, and where he'll go in the draft has definitely dropped off. Wouldn't be a surprise to see him out of the top 10 now.
Really?
No, I don't think so. No. Do you think? Would you be shocked by that?
Yeah.
Really? There's not a big need for defensive tackles in the top 10. That's one thing. That's one aspect of it that plays, and that has nothing to do with that Oliver, that I think could play into it. But on top of that, I think there are concerns about how big he'll play in the NFL. He doesn't have tape or polish like Aaron Donald. I don't know why people say that.
I don't see him getting out of the top 10.
I mean, it's possible that he doesn't. There are landing spots that make sense for him in the top 10. I think there are going to be some teams that are really high on him, and if it's their top need,
I think,
depending on how the board falls. Yeah,
I think that Ed Oliver is, I think predicting where he's going to go is super murky, but even though I think that I think it's harder to pinpoint a spot, because like you said, like if you're looking at needs throughout the top 10, it's like, okay, there's pr- probably only maybe like three spots that would consider picking Ed Oliver.
Right. But like there's some teams that will not pick Ed Oliver. Like the Giants won't pick Ed Oliver. Like look at the players that they've drafted at defensive tackle. They won't take him. The Jaguars wouldn't take him. The Lions wouldn't take him. So there's three of your teams right there if he gets past the top five.
I just don't.
Bills could.
I don't know if I believe that though.
I mean, but look at their types. Like,
right. I hear you. I totally hear you. But I don't know how. I don't know how hard and steady teams are from year to year. I really don't.
Gettleman is hard and steady from year to year, brother. Let me tell you, that man will be drafting the same type of player in 2045.
When he's general manager of which team after he ruins the Giants.
Some the AAF.
He sucks.
Or he'll be dead at that point. I don't know. But either way, my point is he will be drafting the same type of player. Like you can log it in. And the Jaguars, you know, look at them, same thing. Like they're drafting size, they're drafting athleticism for sure, but they're drafting size and length up front. And not that they don't even need a defensive tackle, so they're not gonna draft him top 10. The line, you think Matt Patricia's taking a pint-sized D tackle, an off-ball D tackle? No chance, brother. A'shaun Robinson, Deshaun Hand, he's got these.
They already have Snacks.
They just traded for Snacks. Yeah,
you can put him next to Snacks.
But that's not how they think.
That's why you bring him in.
That's not how they think. I'm not saying you're wrong.
So you can do that.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. But you're giving them way too much credit, brother. That's not how they think. It's not what they do. Look at the guys they brought in. They traded for Snacks. They had Deshaun Hand and A'shaun Robinson, run pluggers. That's it. Big guys take up space, powerful point of attack guys. They can two gap.
You just laid out a scenario for me in which it would make sense for them to pick it all. Or
no, yes, logically to us, but not to them in the way that they think. I guarantee you, none of those three teams take him. They won't even consider him. He's not on their board.
You want to bet?
I'll bet anything. Put the bet down.
Anything. All right, I want the deed to your house.
You can have it.
All right, done.
You can have it.
Made a deal where I don't risk anything, and if I win, I get the deed to your
I don't
house.
Even care. I'm so confident that I'm right, I don't even need like a positive outcome in this for me.
Right.
My positive outcome will just be the ability to
remember
over you.
This moment, bring it back up when Ed Oliver gets picked to the Jaguars for whatever stupid reason.
You know that's not going to happen.
Remember that I then get the title.
His landing spots in the top 10 are Buffalo and Denver. I don't think there's another spot for him that he could go. Tampa, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about Tampa.
Tampa Bay.
A lot would have to go wrong. I mean, Quinnen and Devin White would both have to be off the board. Josh Allen. Bosa, obviously, right?
God, I hope so.
What if Bosa fell to 5?
Can you imagine?
You would lose your mind. And then they pass on him.
Oh,
they traded back.
Man, it would be so sad for me to look on it would be so sad for me on the outside looking in as a Browns fan to watch Tampa do something like that.
I see what you did there. Okay, so we've got Quinnen Williams, clearly the unquestioned number one. Jeffrey Simmons, is the number two defensive there. Wait, there's a discussion there for you?
No, sorry. I was saying I think that was a good discussion on Ed Oliver because it's like like I said, picking a landing spot for him is super murky, but I personally think that at the end of the day, some team is just going to be like, dude, it's Ed freaking Oliver, and they're going to pick him. And it's going to be
bad
probably
process. It's Ed Oliver. We five-star
the
recruit.
The NFL does this all the time.
Talked about him for forever. He's got to be good.
This all the time.
No. I mean, I like Ed Oliver. I do think he's somewhat overbilled a little bit, but I think he's still a good player.
So he's going to the Bills. There it is. All right. Quinnen Williams.
We've come full circle. Jeffrey Simmons, to me, is number two, but the issue with Jeffrey Simmons is the leg.
Where would you pick Jeffrey Simmons?
In the first round.
I would as well.
Here's why.
You get the extra year.
Thank you. Yes. People are overthinking it. Now, it's a different story.
Somebody was hating on my mock draft. Look, you can hate on my mock draft for, like, many, many reasons. Jeffrey Simmons being picked by the Patriots at number 32 so they get the extra year out of him is not the one that you should really
nitpick.
That
is insane.
You really should not be nitpicking that one. And I had multiple people tell me Belichick would never pick Jeffrey Simmons. They're like, the Patriots need other needs. They don't need Jeffrey Simmons. I'm like, y'all, like, pick something. Like, roast me for putting Metcalf at number two, please.
Something else.
But don't come at me for Simmons going 30, number 32. Yeah.
There's always a lot of options to roast you outside of something that like that. So
I'm here for my own roast.
Here's my thing about Jeffrey Simmons, Trevor. This isn't Sidney Jones' situation, because even though Sidney Jones was hurt right before the draft, like Simmons was, Sidney Jones wasn't a top five talent. He was not a consensus top five talent. He might have gone in the second round healthy, and he ended up going in the second round. So it's not the same thing. You're not concerned about getting a fifth year out of a guy that isn't an elite prospect. Jeffrey Simmons is an elite prospect. So you say, oh, maybe he's Miles Jack or Jalen Smith. No, they never knew if Jalen Smith would play football again. Miles Jack, they thought his issue was debilitating enough that he could only have 2 or 3 years in the league before his knee was shot, basically, or at least declining rapidly. So totally different situation. ACL, it's a common injury these days. Almost all players bounce back from it. So to me, this is a totally different situation with Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons is an elite prospect in this class, frankly, a class without many elite prospects. He deserves to go in the top five based on talent. If everything checks out with character, I think somebody's going to take him in the first round. In fact, Trevor, I know one team that picks in the 20s that would take Jeffrey Simmons in round one. It doesn't mean they absolutely will take Jeffrey Simmons in round one, because it depends who else falls in the draft. I'm sure there are other factors that they will need to consider, but they will take him round one. They have him very high on their board, and they will take him round one if he's there. And you can watch my mock draft for hints about this upcoming Monday.
I was going to say, what does the mascot rhyme with?
There's my little plug. I'm not going to give it away on the podcast, Trevor. I'm trying to get traffic to our site.
Okay, tell me.
There's a team in the 20s that will take Jeffrey Simmons if he's on the board there, as long as somebody that I don't know how many players they have above him, but I know that they still have a first round grade on him. They still will take him in the first round. They don't care about the injury. That's the point. And I think they're not the only ones. So I think, if he gets to that range, he's going to get drafted, whether it's Oakland or whether it's Indianapolis or whether it's Philadelphia. There's a lot of options on New England, like you said, a lot of options that make sense. But I think he will get drafted in the 20s.
If he didn't tear his ACL, okay. So think about, obviously, the domestic violence thing that is in his past as well, which
assault. Sorry.
We discussed that. Talked about the background of that, the context that goes into it. I've written about that. If you want to go and read my article about it, I kind of shape it out pretty well. I explain all the details and why Simmons' situation is different than a lot of other people's. And there's a reason why you should read up on it instead of just kind of like throw his situation away. All of that considered.
Yeah.
If he did not tear his ACL, where do you think he would get drafted? Don't tell me. I know you have him as a top five player, and I know you could find places for him to go in the top 10. Do you really think that he would go in the top 10, or where do you think he would go?
Probably not. And maybe, again, probably not Buffalo, but possibly Buffalo, possibly Denver. You're right. I think more than likely he would go somewhere from 12 Green Bay to – I'm trying to think now where everybody's at.
Green Bay would be a great spot for him.
Yeah, somewhere 12 would be the ceiling probably, and Indy would probably be the floor.
Indy would be the floor.
Yeah, Philly or Indy probably would be the floor, I would guess. Maybe even earlier than that. I'm trying to think of the order right now. I'm not looking at it. But, there's no question he's a really good player. The only reason I think he would fall is because, like you said, for some teams, the stuff in the past would be a turnoff for them, plus the need for a defensive tackle. I just don't think it's that great in the top 10. So I think that would be part of the reason why he might slide a little bit. But okay, so if those are the three guys, those are the three in some order for both of us, right? Top three?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure you weren't crazy and had Christian Wilkins over Jeffrey Simmons or something. The next two guys are very close for me, Christian Wilkins and Jerry Tillery. I like them both a lot. Early day two guys to me. I think they're both super talented. I think Tillery's an ascending player who started to put it all together this past season. I know he's had some character things in the past, but I think that he seems like he's on the right track now. And I don't think it's like an off the field type of stuff, just like work ethic, commitment, things like that. But he dropped a ton of weight. He looks unbelievable, tested unbelievable. So I think he's really seems committed. His interview session seemed very focused to me. He's a very smart kid. I don't think it's anything like you have to worry about him like long term being a professional or anything like that. I just think it took a while for him to get his feet under him at Notre Dame. Christian Wilkins, I mean, he kind of, I think now we can say he is who he is a little bit, maybe a little more consistency as a pass rusher, but we thought that going into last year and he helped himself a lot too. So I don't think you can go wrong with either of these guys. I really like both of them. Those are my top five, or I feel so good about. Like, I don't feel like anybody on the outside. I'll be shocked if anybody on the outside of my top five is better than those five guys I just said.
Is Simmons is above Oliver for you?
Simmons, yes. Quinn Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Ed Oliver, Christian Wilkins, Jerry Tillery. Those are my top five, and I feel great about it.
Okay, mine's the same order other than flip Oliver and Simmons.
Okay, all right. Still riding Oliver. I got you. After that, whoo, buddy. I don't know what's going on. I got Draymond Jones in the third round, but his combine was a bomb. I mean, he bombed the combine. And honestly, athleticism is his best trait on tape, so I'm so confused. And I went back, I'm like, this guy is clearly a great athlete. I have no idea what happened, but I'm trusting the tape a little bit with him. He's got concerns in other areas that already had him a little bit further down for me. But I don't know, man. I still think as a pass rusher, there is a real potential for Draymond Jones to be a really good player in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think
would he be next for you, do you think? Or
no.
You got Big Dex in there? Who you got?
I think I would have Lawrence. Oh, I think I would have Lawrence guy, after Tillery. I'd probably have a Menihue after that.
Oh, I didn't even include him here.
Then I'd have probably Daniel Wise, Dalen Mack, Kalen Saunders, Draymond Jones.
I have to finish Kalen Saunders and Daniel Wise, to be honest, but I didn't include him anywhere in that. I should, if you're including him in that, he's in that mix with Wilkins and Tillery in the early second round. I want to see how his pro day goes.
Weigh in at, what did he weigh in at?
Draymond? I'm looking at his mock. I'm looking at 280, I want to say 282.
I'm looking this up.
So he's super light. All right,
spider graph, bad. 6'2", 280, 512. How's that? What? No.
512. That's what he ran. He's 6'2", 280? Did you say 280?
Yeah, he's 280.
Okay, so he's a small defensive tackle for sure. Like, he's a light defensive tackle. Plays high, his leverage issues. I'm honestly, like, I'm definitely a little bit scared of drafting Draymond Jones. He's in the third round for me. I only have four third round guys right now. I have him, Dexter Lawrence, Rennell Wren, and Armon Watts. And the last three are late third rounders for me. So I think Armon Watts is the sleeper in the class, Trevor. I know you haven't seen a ton of him yet.
No, I haven't.
Do your next five play on him if you don't have a guy to do.
No, I got it. Well, I got to do James Williams because I couldn't do it last week because okay. We did the March Madness thing. So I'm gonna do Williams, and then I'll do Armon Watts.
Okay, I'm telling you, he's got fun plays to break down because he can actually rush the passer. I don't know how this dude didn't play for years at Arkansas, but his senior year he took full advantage, and the stats are like, there.
Is he the ideal version of Jay Sternberger?
Basically, yes. He barely played for 3 years. I mean, he was on the team, but he just didn't see the field at all. He had like 7 tackles going into his senior year. And then he had 8 sacks his senior year. So he eclipsed his total tackle numbers with sacks in his final year. And they were good sacks. Like, he's beating guys 1v1. He was good against the run.
With what? What's he beating him with?
He is not super explosive, but he has terrific hand usage. He's very powerful, and he is pretty coordinated once he gets moving. He just doesn't have a great first step. That's going to be his big – that's why he's – honestly, if you watch his tape, you'll be like, his peak plays, you're like, this guy could be round one, but he just isn't explosive enough to be a super high pick. That's the big drawback with him. He didn't do a ton of the testing either, so I'm curious to see his pro day. But, yeah, so I don't expect him to be an unbelievable athlete. I think he can win other than that, and he's a good run defender as well. So there's enough positives for me to take a swing on him in the top 100. I like his tape. After that, I like Tristan Hill from UCF, early fourth round. He's one of the three.
Did you get to watch him?
I did. Yeah, dude. He's good. He's explosive. He's like the opposite of Armon Watts, okay? So really quick first step, but his leverage is all over the place. He's a shorter, stocky defensive tackle, but he plays super high, and like he'll forget to use his hands for a little bit. He doesn't have like a real polished plan of attack or like read blocks, but explosive, I mean, can move, gets through gaps. Like,
he had a super interesting combine, I thought.
Yeah, I think he had a really, he had a pretty good combine.
Other than his three cone, I thought he had a really good combine.
Right, which, I mean, I'm okay with that. You know, interior guys is not a big deal for me.
Yeah, don't really matter.
Right, they're not bending quite as much. I mean, there's opportunities too, certainly. I mean, Aaron Donald's shown that, but it's always good to be high. I just think if you show on tape, you can win regardless. Also, Tristan Hill has some crazy bend plays on tape, so that's surprising.
Has some what? Crazy what?
Bend plays where he bends.
Bend plays?
Bend? Flexibility? Bend?
Sorry, are you saying Pam?
I think I can all help with the whole Pam Pan issue. I mean, he is, but yeah, he had some really good bend plays on tape where he was cornering on guards and things like that, and that I was really impressed by. So it's weird that he didn't have a great three cone. But
are there some depth guys that are like down on this list that we should be talking about, or maybe guys that were like went into the year thinking about that just aren't worth it?
Gerald Willis ain't worth it. Miami's pro day was yesterday. It's this week, I think. Don't quote me on that. But so we'll see if he finally does something. He didn't do anything at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he backed out of the Senior Bowl last minute. He backed out of the Combine. So, I mean, I'm trying to see how this guy tests, but I don't think he's going to be pretty, and I think that's part of the reason why. He can jump gaps. That's about it. Like, when he wins in the gap, he's got a chance, and he does have a good first step. He reminds me a ton of Andrew Brown last year from Virginia.
Didn't know what he was doing. That's
got
good.
Washed all the – that's good?
No, oh, I mean, like, that's job. A good – that's oh, yeah, that's – because Andrew
like,
Brown.
Brother,
no,
he wants the same Andrew Brown. Like,
no, because Andrew Brown was like, I watched a good amount of his tape last year, and I was like, yo, this dude can shoot. Like, he can shoot gaps. And you kind of watch the plays where he doesn't initially win through a gap.
Oh, yeah, he was bad.
He doesn't really do anything.
Willis isn't that bad. Like, he doesn't have that – the low points aren't as low as consistently, I guess. But
so where did Andrew Brown go?
I honestly don't even remember. I think he was he undrafted or he go late? I think he went late. I forget who picked him up. He had a couple of nice snaps at the Senior Bowl, though. Got people going.
He got picked. Andrew Brown got picked round 5.
Oh, did he? Who took him?
Cincinnati Bengals.
I was going to say, it wasn't Cincinnati. I don't think he played last year, I'm pretty sure.
Practice squad.
Right. They're pretty deep, so. But yeah, no, Willis was... Man, I think I put Willis in my top 20 at one point after the LSU game, right at the beginning of the year. I was, trying to be like pump up guys who got off to hot starts basically with that next big board. And I was like, just Gerald Willis. He was unbelievable in that game. But then I watched more tape and I'm like, yeah, this isn't consistent. Like, he's just snap jumping and, you know, and he happened to be right a lot in the LSU
game. The old John Bullard.
Oh, my goodness, brother. Why would you do that? I'm having a great night over here recording for tomorrow morning, just enjoying my time, and you remind me of my 14th overall prospect in the class, Jonathan Bullard. Thanks,
just
dude.
Trying to make sure you don't repeat your mistakes, man.
Thanks, dude. Well, I didn't.
John
Willis is
John Bullard
in the fourth round.
John Bullard went third round.
Rip. Rip to a man whose college tape was truly beautiful.
Gator great, brother.
Do anything. Jalen Mack also, you know, he tested horrible. So, I mean, even though he's a nose tackle and I get it and it's okay, I'm just not taking him till the fourth round. Still think he can be a good player. You know, reminds me somewhat of Puna Ford, to be honest. I think he'll probably be available in round 5, 6,
triggered.
7 maybe even. He's going to help a team. Like, he will help a team. But I just don't value what he offers. I'm not taking a risk on what he offers until round 4.
Where are you taking Jalen Mack? What'd you say?
Round 4, brother.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
Isaiah Bugs is another guy.
He's bad.
Fell off the map, brother. Look at his mock draftable.
Okay. All right. Pause.
Bring a trash can over in case you got a bomb.
Isaiah Bugs. Pause for station identification.
BUGGS.
What is this?
It's a dot, brother.
What shape is this?
It's a dot.
Dude, he was in the... Oh, my gosh.
Read it. Read
all
it.
Right, I'm just going to read the percentiles, okay?
You going to tell us what they're for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Height, 52. Weight, 77. All right, not bad, right?
How fat
good
was he?
Start.
I mean, how heavy was he?
306.
Okay. That's, by the way, he was listed like 286, so that's either good or bad, depending on how you look at it.
We'll keep going. Wingspan, 2, second percentile.
That's not great.
Arm length, third percentile.
That's not great.
Hand size, ninth percentile.
That's not great.
40-yard dash, you know, we get a little bit better here. In a 40-yard dash, he is the 19th percentile.
That's not great, Trevor.
Then for the vertical jump, we head back to the third percentile. For the broad jump, we go back to old, reliable, second percentile. Three cone drill, he's a fifth. 20 is a sixth. And bench press, he's a 15th. This guy is too big.
He's a statue is what he is.
Too stocky. Can't run. Can't jump. Got no strength. No agility. no flexibility.
What did he bench?
20 reps. 20? Could you outbench Isaiah Buggs in 2 weeks? If I gave you 2 weeks, well, if I gave you 3 weeks to prep, could you do it?
I think probably, yeah, if you gave me 3 weeks. But his arms are huge.
Big fan of the pod, Owen Reese, did 30 cold. Oh, yeah.
He could, okay? Yeah. He could, not only could he outbench him, he could beat Buggs up in a fight. I'm going to call out Buggs completely right here.
Listen. You know, since Isaiah Buggs might not be doing anything the weekend of the draft, if he wants to come on the live stream and fight Owen Reese, we'll hold it live on the stream.
He said he might not be doing anything the weekend of the draft. I don't know how we keep this podcast going. The players haven't found us yet. Thank God. One night they're just going to show up at your house. I haven't watched Kalen Saunders yet. I need to finish Daniel Wise and Jonathan Ledbetter. I like Ledbetter. I like Wise, too. Beckner's all right. Probably miss me with DeMarcus Christmas and Dontavious Russell. I'm intrigued by Chris Slayton. Got to see what's there. Kevin Givens tested really well from Penn State. Got to watch him as well. There's a couple late sleepers. There's always a couple defensive tackles late that fill a role for a team. That have pass rush ability, that have one gap ability to get up the field, play packages, and do some good things. It happens every single year. So my goal is to find this. So I think Watts is one of them. I think Hill could be one of them. I'm curious who the other ones could be. Could it be Slayton? Could it be Givens? You saw a little bit of Kevin Wilkins from Rutgers at Shrine. I was there as well.
Yeah.
He flashed a little bit. Dogby at Shrine, and he tested well too. Didn't get the combine invite. So Cortez Broughton wasn't very good at Shrine, I thought, but he had great production this past year at Cincinnati, so he's worth a look. So one of those guys will be an impact player in the NFL. They'll make a difference, at least on third down. So it's a good class. Don't get me wrong, Trevor. It's a good class. It's just not the generational class we were given. You know?
Every year. It's a generational class. Can't wait to write that title for next year's wide receiver group.
Honestly, just title it like 2020 NFL draft and just put generational and make that the title and watch the clicks. Just watch them.
Not afraid. I've never been afraid of the clicks.
Tonight, so. Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor and I will be going live on Twitch to talk about the 2019.
This
wide
is Tuesday
receiver
night,
class.
By the
yes,
way.
Tuesday night. Yeah, if you're listening to this podcast on Wednesday, you are truly SOL tonight when you get on Twitch. But if you're listening to it Tuesday morning, like a real human should, we are going to be on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern and on Twitch. We are going to be talking wide receivers. Our evaluations of the class as we've been with each of the position groups, but also taking your questions, your thoughts on them, asking you guys for some thoughts too in the chat. So, as always, thanks so much for listening. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.